That's how it goes. Yes, it's the return show of the 3 Year Ventenos podcast show. Show number 69. Yes, 69. Lemon chicken, don't mind that at all. Yes, to our listeners, that the week off due to the international break, which the Azzurri had two wins away in the United States, which was, I'd say, not too bad a result, but a lot of work to go if they're going to repeat the endeavours of winning the Euros a couple of years back. But in saying that, the return of the Serie A action got underway match day 30, and we have got some real issues at our club, and I think with all the other goings on with the club and where we're going and where we're heading, I'm lost. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely lost to see what is taking place and what has happened to our club, especially the old lady, the amount of disrespect I'm seeing from players and hearing and reading a lot of these articles. I know the Italian media sells papers when its front covers have Juventus on them, but I'm just a bit worried, everyone, and I don't know what's going on at our club. It feels like we're acting like a small club, not a big club that we're supposed to be acting like. But, tonight's show is a call-in show where next week's show will be back in the headquarters at 48 hours with a surprise comeback person. So with saying that, I will be ringing Marco Fiorenti Juventino right now, get him on the wires, and we're going to really hammer tonight's show about what is going on, because it is not acceptable. And us fans do not deserve what is going on. So, in saying that, pronto.
Pronto, Riccardo.
My friend, Paisano.
Buona Pasqua.
Buona Pasqua. Yeah, happy Easter to all our listeners around the world. Mate, can I just lead us into the show tonight just with a little message on behalf probably of millions of Juventus fans around the world? So I'll get on it. And oh, mate, tell me I'm not wrong. Mark, what is going on with that club?
How many times have we heard that since the Intermatch 8 or so weeks ago, since I think it was the first Sunday in February when we were an outside chance?
What is going on? I can't believe this.
I think we've heard that scream three times a show, every single show since then. It is disastrous, and we don't come back after 3 days like the great JC. I just hope we come back sometime this season, or else with Bologna breathing down our necks and Roma not far behind, believe it or not, it may not only be Champions League we're out of, but potentially also the Europa League. Who would have thought?
Look, I'm just going to read you a stat, okay? Last 10 games. I'll go back to the 27th of January. Empoli was a draw. Inter a loss. Udinese a loss. Verona draw. Fosenonia was a win, which we're lucky to get a win. Napoli a loss. Napoli in Naples. Obviously, that's a hard game, but we lost that. Atalanta, draw. Genoa, draw. Away to Lazio, loss. We've dropped 20 points in a matter of 10 games.
Yeah. I've got similar stats.
Where are we going? Because if I'm right, what I read, Del Neri's record has been broken by Max.
Yes, it has. Yeah. Looking at it another way, Riccardo, I've got similar stats.
Go for it.
One win in 9 games, 7 points in the last 9 games. One clean sheet recorded since the middle of January. Mm. And this is the one that really makes it sink in. We've had more losses in the last 4 games than we had in the first 5 months. I repeat, 5 months of the 23-24 season.
Yep.
It's just gone completely on its head.
Yep.
It's a 180 since just shortly after the second half of the season commenced. If we were playing like this the first 5 months of the season, we'd be in a relegation dogfight.
I reckon you're right. Yep. I reckon there's been games, Mark, that we've won with individual brilliance, last moment, you know, wins, and I think those wins really overshadow how dysfunctional and how bad we are as a club at the moment. I think it's been a bit of a luck, and I think this has all come to a head in a very, very bad way.
Yeah, and no disrespect, but it was against a Lazio team who were in upheaval. Suddenly resigned the week before the international break, so about 2 weeks before, which led to the appointment of someone that we were linked with and should have probably really had a look at. We spoke about 2 weeks ago on the show. Former Juve player and assistant coach, Igor Tudor.
Totally agree.
He shook things up, but he didn't have a full deck of cards. He was missing their starting goalkeeper, Ivan Provodel. The keeper that started for Lazio yesterday morning our time was playing in Greece, I think the third division of Greece, a year ago. He's their third choice keeper. So he was missing Provodel. He had his third choice keeper. He was missing Manuel Lassari and Rovella. Luca Pellegrini, former player of ours, was suspended. And Luis Alberto wasn't fit to start. Not exactly brimming with confidence with their new coach, but, and we're going to unpack this more, but we didn't record our first shot until the 41st minute. I'll get there eventually. And I want to talk about that after. If you can remind me if I forget, please, about that 41st minute. And in reality, they probably should have scored, Lazio that is, much earlier than the third minute of stoppage time. That's just the way this game was played.
So, in saying that, Mark, we'll get straight into it. So, match day 30 off 38 away, 31st of March, Easter Sunday, Eastern Standard Time, Australian time, 4 a.m. Lazio 1, Juve 0. They scored in the 93rd minute. And it was, am I right to write, Marušić. So, in stats, 16 shots to 9 to Juve. On target, 4-3. Possession, they totally dominated with 65% to us 35. Fouls, 12-10. Yellows 1-2 to us. Offsides 1-0 to us. Corners was 7-2. Insane that Juventus are in third, 5 points away to Bologna, with it. Bologna's got a game in hand to reduce that to 2 points. Lazio sitting in seventh after that. Now, in saying this, can we just talk about what you just said about our first shot? Do you want to start with that? And then I will mention the disgraceful long pass by Locatelli and Tichilio. They need to be spoken about tonight on the podcast with other players.
Yeah.
I'm ready to explain, but you go first, mate.
So I just want to hone in on that first shot. Our first shot was came in the 41st minute. So in other words, nearly halfway into the game.
Yep.
But what was even more shocking than that stat was that shot on goal and the movement right before it from Rabiot to Chiesa was Juventus's second and third touch in the Lazio box all game long. I just want to say that again because it really puts in perspective how impotent we were going forward and creating chances, and typifies why Chiesa looked like a lost cause in the 68th minute when he was subbed off. So just want to repeat that again. We first shot after 41 minutes.
Yep.
But right before then was our second and third touch in the Luxor box all game long. How can you play for 40 minutes and not at all, and only, sorry, encroach on your opponent's goal one time? And not even really, that might be generous when I say encroaching on your opponent's goal.
I think you are.
Getting into their box.
Yeah.
That's, and, you know, Max had it baffled, not for the first time. He trotted out a change in formation, a 4-3-3, which many people thought, but you and I, we're pretty educated at this, and we know Max very well. 4-3-3 looked positive because you thought, oh, well, it's going to get Chiesa into his natural position.
Yeah.
We'll be much more attacking, hopefully. But it doesn't really work when you've got Andrea Cambiasso,
who's playing out of position.
As a winger in the front three.
Yep.
But Matteo Di Silvio playing at left back. Didn't Andrea Cambiasso play the left back for Bologna last season?
Mark.
So if you want to play a back four, why put Di Silvio, who hasn't played all season, or very little of this season, starting him in this? Why don't you play Cambiasso at left back? And if you want to play a 4-3-3, why aren't you playing Chiesa with, obviously Chiesa, with someone like Yildiz, or a Illing Jr. if you want a strict use of wingers, or a Weyer? Why Cambiasso? Why Di Silvio?
Why does he play players? Like, this formation should have been played. We should have been playing this formation probably with the players when they were fit and on the park, He reverts back to playing players like his love child players. I'm talking about Sandro, Di Silvio. And there's a couple others there I can mention too. But you're 100% right, mate. He is plucking at straws. That's how desperate he's become. But for me now, it's becoming like an insult because I can't sit down and watch Juventus play like this. It's making me sick, and it's probably making all our fans sick, Where's the logic in his madness? There's no logic. He's full on crazy. And do you know what gets me the most? When I saw Di Silvio, who basically didn't have no pressure on him and fumbled the ball, right, that sums him up, okay? He's got to go. He's finished. He's done. Then what hurt me the most too, a player like Locatelli, I don't know what's going on in his head. He does this huge long pass from one side of the ground to the other and kicks it right out. Mate, we've got problems, and there's rumours now he's up for sale. EPL clubs and that. Like, we're talking about players now that supposedly should be cemented in our side, never be spoken about trading. Now there's abundance of news between Bremer and all this. Mark, why isn't this club or the owners making this hard decision? Because they are literally damaging the brand. There are legends coming out and saying this is basically heads should roll right now. And thirdly, we're not a small team. We're frigging Juventus. We've got a pedigree. Bob, and they're making us look like a bunch of buckalas.
Yeah, absolutely. If we were the big club that we aspire to be, Allegri would have been sacked probably this time last month.
Totally agree with you, mate. Totally agree.
Why is it that Lazio, again, no disrespect, they were punching above their weight this season and probably deserve to be where they are. Deserve probably a hard work. But they were competing in two competitions until 3 weeks ago. So they've got a smaller roster, not as much funds as us. So therefore, you would have expected them to drop from last season and not be in the top four and be mid-table, which is where they were prior to this game starting. Why is it that they can part ways with Sarri because they think that mid-table is not good enough after a top four finish last year, but we can't sack Max Allegri? Why is it, if I'm going to cross leagues, go to Man United? Man United, I think the most one-eyed of supporters would have said back in August, oh, I think our chances of being in the top four are probably less than 50%. They're, I think, seventh at the moment. Why is it that Ten Hag apparently is walking a real tightrope and will more than likely get sacked? Their expectations should be nowhere near as high as ours, but they're looking at sacking their coach. Why is it that Bayern Munich, who's still in the Champions League, is going to part ways with Thomas Tuchel at the end of the season? But why is it that we continue, despite, let's repeat it again, one win in nine games, 7 points in the last nine games, more losses in the last four games than we had in the first 5 months of the season? Why is it we continue to persist with standing on the record of the highest paid coach amongst high paid coaches? What was just biting the bullet and saying, wow, we've got Bologna in 12 hours' time, 2 points away and a head-to-head next month against them. This ain't working. We really got to steady the ship now to regain that top four and just bite the bullet and sack him. I know.
I don't see why we're keeping him. What is it going to do? Like, as I see it, Mark, if they miss Champions League, that's going to set back this club at least five years. At least 5 years. Okay, we're going to be talking about it'll be a fire sale, and maybe on top of that, to get back to where you need to be in, you know, in the league and then go into Europe, I reckon 10. It will be one decade wasted.
Yeah.
Because we've just built these kids up for the next gen team, mind you. But they'll all be sold.
The other thing is, if we don't come top four, we strongly link with Thiago Motta, who's coaching Bologna. If we don't come top four and they do, Motta might do one of two things. He might stay with Bologna. He might say, hey, I got them to the Champions League. I want to have a crack at the Champions League with Bologna.
Yeah, you might go to Bayern or PSG. You never know. You just don't know. There's other clubs.
Worse still, he might put himself in the shop window. I think he already is in the shop window. But clubs like Bayern Munich, who are looking, Barcelona, who are looking, Liverpool, who are looking, Man United, Chelsea, who might be looking, they might take a look at Motta and say, we really admire what you did with a wage bill that I think is the 12th highest in Serie A. 12th highest in Serie A, but you came top four in Serie A. We're going to take a punt on you. Why would Motta say, oh, no, sorry, Barcelona. I think you used to play for as well, need we forget. Sorry, I'm not going to come and coach you. I'm going to take Juventus, who are in the Europa League instead. It could actually, if you think it's really bad, it could go from bad to worse, because we may actually be stuck with Max because no one else will want to take us, because they'll think it's a poison chalice.
I just think that we should just pay the remaining year of his contract, which I think, what is it, 12, 10 or 12 mil? See you later. But it shows you. It just shows you that we're just a business. You know, it hurts me to say it, and I've been saying it for the last couple of years now, second time around with the ex-girlfriend with Max. But, mate, come on.
I don't know about that. If you run a business, you want to run it as a profit. You're not going to be profitable if you're not making the most prestigious league in Europe.
Yeah, but
you're not going to be profitable if you don't take risks.
Yeah, but what they're going to do, what I mean by this, Mark, they're going to sell these young superstars in the making, like a Banachetta, a Sule. There's abundance of these players that went up in that system. They will get first team in other clubs. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean that we'll sell these as profit, Because that's what it feels like. Where, when's the next big buys going to be? I mean, like, if this all goes pear-shaped, half that list will go. More than half that list will go.
Well,
who's going to come in and play for us? That's what I'm thinking. You know, like, why would you want to come to Juventus when we're just playing in Serie A and Coppa Italia? We missed out in Europe. What, a Europa Kiss My Sister-in-Law Cup? I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. You know, they'll sell this. They'll make profit because they're a business. The owners really are, since they've changed logo, all this, okay, i.e. they got Ronaldo, which COVID came into it, which wasn't their fault. But apart from that, there's been some really shonky, you know, deals with Ramsey and a couple others, Emre Can and stuff like that, which turned pear shape. But again, we might be sitting back here in 12 or 6 months' time thinking, what the hell just happened in the last 24 months? Mm. And this guy might burn this club to the ground to rebuild again.
Yeah.
That's what's killing me, because watching this, and as you said, 41st minute of a game, watching the first shot, the week before, I think it was around the 32, 33 minute, this is not acceptable. It ain't acceptable. No. It's not Juventus, mate. Come on. Where's the pride? Yeah.
And if you look at the teams we've played in the last 2 months, with the exception of Inter.
Napoli.
Well, I actually don't have a great deal of respect for Napoli this season, because sure, they were brilliant 6-7 months ago, but since Spalletti left, they're onto their third coach so far this season.
And wasn't that the really coach who just came in too? Wasn't he came in a week before playing us as well? I mean, they all do it.
Yeah, so I mean, we played Napoli. You might say Napoli, Atalanta and Lazio yesterday were respectable opponents. Really, the way they were going into the games against us, you know, Napoli, as you say, had their third coach of the season a week or so beforehand installed. Tudor, as I say, this was his first game, and it was an international break, so how much time did he have to work with the players? Atalanta, well, yeah, sure, they've always been our bogey team, but they're not the same team they were in seasons gone past. It's really only Inter. As I said a couple of shows ago, back in late January, you would have thought over the next 2 months, come mid-April, before we play Milan, I'd expect us to win all these games, bar perhaps the Inter game and maybe the Atalanta game, who always give us some trouble, but we're playing them at home. So I think we'd have home ground advantage, of course, and therefore should get the 3 points. But now, looking back, I mean, the tougher tests are actually yet to come. This month, we're playing Milan, Roma, Torino, and next week, Fiorentina.
Where is the next win going to come? Because at the moment, I don't think we can win a game. That's the honest truth.
Well, we can't beat. The only team we've beaten in the last 2 months was Frosinone.
Just.
In a relegation dogfight. And we beat them with the last kick of the game from a defender,
yeah.
Daniele Lugan.
Yep.
I mean, that just smacks of a lack of confidence, team spirit.
But why isn't there no confidence? Why isn't there no team spirit? Why is it when I watch these frigging videos of them training, they're laughing, giggling, and taking the piss out of each other? You're telling me, am I missing something here as a Juve fan like we all are? They play a game and they fall apart like pieces of bloody shit. They have got no respect for the jersey. You know, there was a part in that game, I saw Rabiot give it to Moretti when the ball went out, okay? Mm. He's giving it to him. You know what, Rabiot, I'm going to say it straight, get the fuck out of the club. Sorry, Mark. Sorry to our listeners, straight out, mate. He's on a good coin. He's on 7.5, highest paid along with probably Vlahovic, right? And he's giving us this shit. He played one decent season out of a couple, and that's the shit he's given our club. Piss off. And then on top of that, Mark, which really drove me up the wall, he's laughing after the game with some other player of ours, right? What in the hell are you laughing about? Daddy's pissing on your supporters and making us look like dickheads. Yeah? That's not respectful, mate. Get the hell out of our club, mate. If you want to go play for Barnet, piss off with your mum, mate. And on top of this, right, what drove me up the wall? What is bloody funny after a press conference and you're laughing and smirking and having a crack with what Maxwell's giving? You know, you're the highest paid manager and you're giving that shit to your fans?
Yeah.
And your supporters?
It's just not acceptable. Not for a club like Juventus, who was vying for an outside chance, nothing more than that, but an outside chance at the title only two and a half months ago. And now, my word, before this time next week, we could fit. That's how dire things are.
I'll make a prediction here, mate. You know Coppertone? We're lucky to get a draw, or we might lose that game. That's what I'm going to say on our podcast, right? Hopefully I'm totally wrong by next week, right? Then on top of that, come Fiorentina, they'll beat us. They'll beat us. Because, mate, we've got a history of that club going back to Baggio and, you know, the years, you know, we've got a rivalry, yeah? Even if they're playing crap, they still step up to the mark. But the way we're playing, we're capable of getting smashed in that game. That's my prediction.
I think many people would not be surprised with a prediction of that sort. They always fire up against us. You just have to mention the year 1981 and the player Roberto Baggio.
1991. Yep.
In 1990.
Yep.
Fire them right up. And as you say, they're not playing very, very well at the moment. They'll be quite fired up.
A history on that transfer. There was actually Fiorentina supporters that committed suicide.
Yes.
On that trade. That's a full-on truth. That's how hardcore they were back in those days. So, yeah.
And Roberto Baggio did love that club. He played against...
We played him in the UEFA or something. I remember the year before or something like that in a final. Was it one of the Italian Cups? I can't remember which one it was, but I think we played him in a final. And then basically he came over to us.
Yeah, I remember I think it was his first game. The first game. How do I put this?
When he played him, he didn't take the penalty.
Yeah, he didn't take the penalty, and he later said, I didn't take the penalty because I suspected that the Fiorentina goalkeeper knew me quite well and he would have known which way I would have gone.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, that's the reason why I didn't take the penalty. Yeah. But after the match, he gave a Fiorentina supporter, a young boy, a Fiorentina scarf, or he took a scarf from a young Fiorentina supporter from memory. They're always quite fired up against us. And if we want to talk about fired up, it gets only more difficult after that.
It does.
Because we have Derby della Molle against Torino. They're always fired up against us. They haven't won that derby for a while. Years. And they're probably thinking if there's ever a chance to do it,
now.
To get the chocolates, it's now. And as I say, we could be sixth or seventh by this time next month and out of Europe altogether. Hence the reason why I'm sorry, I'm going a bit circular tonight.
Go for
Hence
it.
The reason why I'm saying I think we've just got to bite the bullet and sack Max and you just roll the dice with whoever else you can go with.
I'll take Montero. Look, I know we got you know, with the youth team stuff. Come over. Finish the... We've got no expectations. Just try and get us over the line. Do your best. And, mate, what can he not do wrong? He's got those games. He's a legend of the club. He was a friggin' brutal defender, as we all knew and remember him. But tell me. Tell me he ain't going to give a blast or two if he has to. He'll do it.
The other thing is, I think it also... gives a few players a wake-up call, doesn't it?
If they see Max
Allegri sacked, they think to themselves, well, no one's safe now.
Well, the Riot Act has to be talked. Hang on, the Riot Act has to be said to him. Right. If Juntuli gets in the rooms and says to the guys, "Hey guys, we've sacked the coach now. This is what's at stake, and your jobs are on the line." That's what needs to be done and said.
Yeah. That's what you hope happens. But at the moment, it just seems like it's the same old, and they're just. I kind of get it because I hear your point about Montero, but if Montero doesn't work out,
somebody
then the board looks like they've got major egg on their face.
Do you get a legend to come in to do it? Maybe do you get someone that's had some experience with coaching in general, or do you get someone outside of the club to say, "Hey, we've got this issue. Do you reckon you can get us over the line?" And then you know, I mean, what do you do?
I think you just bite the bullet and go with someone else, and in the hope that it gives the rocket to the players. And also, the players could be disillusioned with Matt. And if a new coach comes in, all of a sudden they might start to play well in a roundabout way of saying, "Well, I lost my mojo. Now I've got it back because Max isn't here. I didn't really like Max." I wouldn't be surprised, for instance, if Chiesa's form takes a huge upswing if a new coach comes in. That, however, depends on a coach playing, one, Chiesa in his natural position, and two, a formation that is attacking that gets the best out of Chiesa.
I'll throw you a boomerang, a curveball, mate. What happens if they got on the phone and they ring up a legend of Italian football, the cigar man, and say, "Hey, we need help." Would you say yes? Would you say, "Yeah, let's just do it, you know, get him in"? And I'm talking about Lippi.
You're talking about Lippi?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think Lippi hasn't coached in, what, a good...
couple of years?
5, maybe 10 years.
Yeah, I think China was his last gig or something. I can't remember.
Yeah, he's probably pushing 75, 80. Does he want to... roll the dice.
We need somebody to come in and do something, because you know what? At the end of the day, Mark, I honestly can say, when you've got Inter Milan reporters and fans feeling sorry for Chiesa and other players, you notice something wrong. Yeah?
Sure. Yeah, it means a lot.
I mean, my tab with the Peroni Reds has just gone through the roof, Chich. I'm starting to hit the grappers now, man, and it's not even putting me to sleep watching your display. So, in saying that, Mark, let's get to the ADP award and the Amari awards.
Oh, God.
I struggled, but who was your best player, mate?
Oh, God. It's really, really difficult to find someone who played even solidly. This is deja vu to our show 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I didn't give a vote.
You didn't give a vote in that game.
No, I didn't.
You were that disgruntled and disappointed with the performances. I'm almost inclined to go that way, but we do have an award, and there's somewhat of a pull to give it to someone because there is an award, but then there's an argument to say, no one impressed me whatsoever, so no one's getting the award. But no, we've got an award, we've got to give it to someone, but I'm only doing it, I'm clutching at straws here. Yeah. So many have developed RSI while thinking about this.
Carpal tunnel.
It's going to go to Daniele Lugani. He played some decent long balls forward, some of which he overhit, sure, but that's not his forte. His defending was pretty good. Mm. I don't recall him making any mistakes. Reasonably solid performance.
Okay. This is the second game on our podcast that I'm giving no votes to no players. Because I do not accept that rubbish. Prima donnas that overpaid and played that absolute garbage. So for me, it's nobody. They get a fat zero. No one gets no award, no points, no nothing from me. In saying that, the Amari Award, the worst of the worst, Who was your worst?
Gee, this is actually just as hard, but for the opposite reasons, because I could think of four or five players, nearly half the starting 11, that were just awful and stuck.
I've got two that tie on this one, so they're going to get half of a point.
Oh, wow. You're groundbreaking lately, Ricardo.
Mate, you have to change the system here, mate. Spice it up. No.
Fair enough. We've got to evolve the podcast.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And I think I know I'm really torn between two players. I'd be interested to see if these are the two players who get the half award each.
Yeah.
Fabio Minetti had a shocker.
Yeah, he did.
By mine. Put it in perspective. This probably says it all. And all I have to say is this. 64.3% pass completion rate.
Mm.
That is awful. In other words, not even two in every three shots hit the man, hit the target.
Yeah.
But he was bad, but there was someone actually worse. And that was the guy who started for the first time in 11 months. Allegri's love child, that's Matteo Bisciglio. He was awful. He looked more rusty than the top half. And should not be even coming on as a sub. He played his first sub chance in 7 months, 2 weeks ago. How in the world does he get drafted into the first 11 against Lazio after playing for the first time in 7 months as a sub?
Hallelujah.
Beyond me. But that's who gets my Amaury Award today.
Okay. Now, I could pick multiple players with the Amaury Award this week, okay? But I'll give half of and a half, half to one, half of a point to another, right? First off, Locatelli. What in the hell has happened to this player and where is his head at? Okay? I was talking up this guy 12 months ago to be a future captain of Juventus. That's what I thought his potential could be. But he's just fallen off the perch, mate. He's just like, it's like when you go to grandma's on a Sunday and you've had too much Jeji or, you know, pasta lenticchia, and you walk out and your guts are about ready to explode, mate. Mate, what has happened to this guy? And the French baguette, the escargots, the frog legs. Mate, you're a prima donna. Get the hell out of our club and do not come back. Do not demand nothing. Piss off. Enough is enough. You're been at the club long enough to be some form of a leader or leadership role, and you do that shit. What you did to Moretti in that game, you're an absolute disgrace, Rabiot. And you know what? Piss off. So that's the other half. Yeah. Sorry, Mark, but that's honest truth, mate. I was pumping his tyres up last year thinking, you know, we need to keep him. And he's been absolutely woeful this year. He's obviously got his head somewhere else. Maybe mum's talking to other clubs.
He's checked out.
I think he's checked out. Yeah, I totally agree with you, mate.
He's done a deal somewhere else in January and he's checked out. He's preserving his body, his form, et cetera, for the Euros because he knows he's more than likely going to be a starter for France and that they'll go deep and he doesn't probably want to overcommit. And potentially get an injury for which could ruin even France's chances at the Euros. You know, it's interesting how you've just berated and myself, we've just berated our complete midfield.
Yeah.
Locatelli and Rabiot yourself, and they've both been, not for the first time, awful for at least, especially in Rabiot's case, almost all of this season, and Locatelli since probably January, and Miretti's been more cold than hot. But Kenny, I'm not sure why he didn't start this game, but he's a guy who was on loan this time last season, and he's probably been, by far and away, our best midfielder. And that probably really encapsulates for me why we're struggling to create chances and why Chiesa looks so frustrated.
I agree.
Your midfield is consistently off the boil. Locatelli and Rabiot especially, who are your biggest names in that midfield, you're not going to create chances, you're not going to move the ball forward, And your players like Blažević, Chiesa, now even Yildiz are going to drop off the perch. But isn't that where the coach needs to say, right, I've got to work with what I've got.
Yeah.
I really can't actually bench Locatelli and Rabiot because my depth options are actually pretty limited. I've got McKenny, I don't have Fagioli, I don't have Pogba. I don't know if I can trust Cavilla, Nicolas Cavilla that much. So I'll just change, though. I've got to work with what I've got, but I'll just change the formation to get the best out of Chiesa. So drop a midfielder and put in Yildiz, who can play between the lines. Wouldn't you do that and play, keep your back three if you want, go a double pivot, a 3-4-2-1.
So you're just talking, Mark, you're just talking about like what we've been talking for months, all other Juventus fans around the world. Why do you play players out of position? Then when players are playing well, like Yildiz before the Empoli game, you decide to say, oh, you know, he's getting a bit too carried away and he's a bit tired. It's a load of bullshit. And then you stuff up the whole formula, i.e. Milik gets a red card. From that moment onwards, mentally, they've been gone.
Yeah, they can't really come off the boil.
They can't find their mojo, mate. And I don't think they can find it with Max.
Here's a question for you.
Well, can I just mention one thing? Let's get into... question, Mark's question without notice, which he's about to ask me, but I want to play this song because it's an absolute ripper Skid Row song, Go for it. Mark's question without notice, go for it, buddy.
Well, this wasn't my question without notice, but may as well.
Mate, you can have two shots at it, it's fine. I always do on my rant. Let's go. Go for it, bro.
I'm going to have two shots at goal, just like Juventus did for the last 9 matches.
Shooting blanks, mate.
Yeah, all blanks and Tom Cruise. Here's a question that I was going to ask you a moment ago.
Go for it.
Do you think, I mean, Fagioli, we lost him before the season started, I think.
Yeah.
So we always knew we were going to go without him, which is a real miss because I think he was probably our best midfielder last year. Teddy, our young player of the year, and I really held him in high regard. But we expected from the glimpses that we saw of Paul Pogba, last season, I think he played 450 minutes, but he played a bit towards the end of the season, and he actually played, you know, remember, you, Anthony, and I, he played that many minutes in the first few weeks of the season that we had a bet going, will he play more minutes in the first half of the season than he did all of last season?
Mm.
And he was certainly on track to do that, and he was showing some potential. I could even go slightly better than that. Say the hopes were slightly optimistic. Do you think our team's fortunes would have been different if Paul Pogba would not have been banned, and this is probably the bigger assumption, he would have remained relatively injury-free? He could have slotted in, for instance, for Rabiot by now if he was injury-free. Do you think our season would have taking a turn for the better or even worse?
Okay. I think it would be a bit better than what it is. I think those 20 points dropped would be about 10 maximum, maybe, you know. Yeah, you're right. I don't think the circumstances would be that as bad as what it is at the moment with the inform, you know, the games we're playing and losing and drawing, which is, against lower teams especially. Things would be different, but the reality is this. They knew what player they were getting once they got him back. They knew he was injury prone at Man U towards the end of his stint there.
Absolutely.
But, mate, tell me something. We're talking about Juventus, supposed to be one of the big clubs in Europe, and they can't even manage his, the supplements or whoever he's going to or keeping an eye on him, even with the injuries prior to that. I mean, come on, mate. They've got some of the best so-called physio doctors in Europe and they should have known about his body breaking down, especially his knees.
Absolutely.
Especially his knees. I just don't accept that and I don't think we should because he's cost us all that time where that could have been Fagioli or could have been another player playing.
Mm.
So you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you got to look for what it is, Mark. You're probably right. In the question, yeah, we probably would be in a better position, but the reality is it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's your second?
It's always one of those, you know, $64,000 questions. How would the season have been had we had a reasonably fit and unsuspended or not suspended Paul Pogba, especially considering the current state of our midfield? I don't need to say a Fagioli. It's just a pity. I think our season, we could have still, God knows, we may have still even been an outside shot at the title. But I go back to the point that Anthony and I made 6-7 months ago, even 3 months ago. We are playing only every 7 days. You've got the players 6 days a week, therefore, in which to try and chop and change formations. You don't need 25 fully fit players because you're only playing every 7 days. And for those reasons, we should have still been in the mix for a shot at the title.
Yeah, I agree. Especially with the list of players that we got. I know they're not... I reckon we've probably got the second best list, Inter being the first.
Yes.
I just can't accept what Max has done to players like Yildiz, like Chiesa, not playing in his natural position. Formation has really hindered that. But also, too, Chiesa now's attitude and mindset is pretty much gone at the moment, which is really sad to see that because we do really need him stepping up to the mark. But he plays players at a position. And I reckon that would be pretty damn well hard if you're playing in a position that you know like your bread and butter and you're playing in a position that you don't really know much about.
Yes.
You know, and he's trying to make, you know, shit into gold, and I don't think he can do that with the players that we've got.
Yeah.
And with his game style, which I think is outdated, and he would get smashed if he was in Europe, he would get smashed. It's outdated.
Yeah.
No plan B, Mark. There's no plan B, buddy. That's what I think.
So. No, there isn't. He just goes defence first. And we saw that yesterday as well when he had he finished the game with Yildiz as the centre forward, supported by the poor kid who was at error for the goal, Sekulov, who we've never heard of before yesterday.
I do not blame him at all. I do not blame this kid at all. Yeah. You know what? Have a look at the way that set up or that goal was. Yeah. That sums up Max.
Our defending.
Yeah.
Just ball watching.
Ball watching.
Six defenders.
Yeah.
Six players in the defensive.
No one's talking. No one's marking their players properly. But to that young kid, heads up, mate, because, mate, it's not your fault. And the fans know that. It's what garbage that he, as a manager, pulls out and expects from their players. I wouldn't want to be playing in a team like that.
That's horrible. It's horrible for a kid to be thrown into such an atmosphere when the morale is low and the spirit is low.
Do you remember the Sule game in the Champions League, Chich? Do you remember what he did to him? Threw him in a big game.
Yes.
And crucified. He got crucified. Not crucified. He did pretty well. But he does this too often.
Yeah.
And who's telling him to do it? He makes the decisions.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's like he's covering his ass. You know, and Meretti's another one. He plays him like a false nine and stuff like that. I mean, mate, this kid should have been loaned out for another year, get experience, and then come back. I.e. Fagioli.
I love Fagioli. Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so.
Well, speaking of a player and a midfielder currently on loan, this was actually my question without notice.
Go for it.
Given the current state of our midfield, and particularly someone like Locatelli who plays in front of the defence in the regista position, there is a player out there on loan who we didn't rate at all, but he's doing okay.
Badanechea?
No, we've spoken about Badanechea. I actually think Badanechea, we spoke about this, needs to come back and probably be pushing Locatelli for that starting spot, if not starting in that starting spot next season.
Yep.
But here's an interesting one. It's not Barena Chea. The guy we, and myself included, have all ridiculed, but he's doing all right. And he's remaining injury-free, and I think that was his biggest problem.
Not Artur.
Artur. Does Artur have a future at Juventus, in your opinion?
Given that he's played most of the season?
27 matches for Fiorentina.
I would. Now,
can
this
bring
is,
him back?
I would bring him back and give him the summer to prove himself.
Yeah.
You've got nothing to lose. You paid this money.
And you're paying him a lot in wages.
Yeah. So this is where I said to you before, I think these players will be sold. And i.e. Locatelli and a couple of players now are trade bait.
You know, because Artur is still relatively young, especially for
that position?
He's only 27. Now, you look at someone like Jorginho, who's probably one of the world's best players in that position.
Mm.
He plays in that position for Arsenal.
Is he 33?
Arsenal is probably, 34? He's 33, and Arsenal's one of the best teams in the world at the moment. So what I'm trying to say is you don't really need pace in that position.
No, you don't.
You just need to know how to read the game and read it very well. And how do you gain experience and readability of the game? Through experience, right? But 27 is actually still relatively young for a player in that position. You know,
it is.
Jorginho mastered that position at the age of 25 or so at Napoli, and then he made his big move to Chelsea. So it was really from the age of 25 that he started to become quite popular. If Artur can remain injury-free, and I think Italy is where he's best suited because it's a bit slower, it's not as physical, say, somewhere like England or even Barcelona where he came from. I've just got some interesting questions, and I think your theory is probably a good one. Give him the summer and see what he can prove, because there could still be a very decent player in there who's got time on his side, given the position he plays in.
Well, there's three players that I would give a go. Soler has to come back and have a crack.
Oh, without question.
Barnechera, 100%.
Yep.
Because I feel that he could be that player that we need.
Yeah.
And then, you're right, Artur, come back and have a crack.
Well, you know, he's played a lot for Fiorentina, 27 matches, and Fiorentina...
They're not going to pay that. They're not going to pay what...
Oh, no.
That's a given.
They just can't afford it.
No.
But Fiorentina, up until a few weeks ago, were announced like chance for your Europa League spot. And if you're starting consistently for a team that is... I know they're 10th at the moment, so mid-table. But as I say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, they were 7th or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Not bad. Especially considering, as you say, that Locatelli's not delivering and hasn't been delivering for the better part of, well, most of this season.
Mark, in saying that...
I think it might be your turn.
Mate. Bum, bum, bum. Mate, I felt like just ripping the walls down. Oh, man. Oh, God, help me with this, mate. I just... Oh... Magnesi, what else do we have to take? Grappa, bit of Uzo, Zambuca, bit of Sfinchies after that. I don't know. It's a bit of a snack. Oh, it's Ricardo's rant. So, all right. Where do I start first? Okay, Decilio, porcelain man, the myth. Mr. Porcelain Man. Buddy, you didn't have no one on you, man. It was pretty much open space. You pretty much fumbled the ball. Like, dude, it's time to go. You know, I honestly could say this. If you weren't injury prone, you would have been a gun of a player. That's just my prediction at that time. But, mate, you know, look what happened. You were just not that type of player that, you know, the body could hold up like many other players have come and gone. Max, what's the laughing, mate? That is irating, mate, as a fan, watching you laugh. Rabiot was bad enough, but you, mate, not on. And time to go. Be a man, grow some knackers, grow those kangaroo balls and just say enough's enough. See you later. And my third part to this is to the owners.
Yeah.
Can they just show some balls and show a little bit of respect to your fans and actually care about the club a bit more? Because at the moment, we've got fans fighting between each other on podcasts and on YouTube and other shows. And, mate, it ain't on. You know, our motto says what it needs to say. We stick together to the end, yeah? But don't treat your fans like crap. And at the moment, it feels like I'm going to a reject store, nothing is reject store, buying something and it's false and it's fake and it's broken. I go take him back and they tell me, nah, mate, we're not giving you money back. And at the moment, Juventus feels like that. Plus, a lot more on top of that. But I ain't accepting it. We don't accept it. And about time, make those decisions before it's frigging too late. And that's my rant.
And if I can just add to that,
go for it, mate.
I'm actually going to be stealing from you.
Go for it.
Earlier today, you had a bit of a rant, like many of us did on our WhatsApp group, and you copied and pasted a word, which
please tell our listeners what it was. Please tell them
which the board should be doing, but is not doing, and that word was accountable. And we all know what accountable means. If you don't, go to the dictionary and look it up. But we know what it means, and we know how one in a role of leadership ought to be acting if and when they are supposed to be accountable. Our board is not accountable at the moment. They are not acting accountably. They are not acting in the best interest of, if we want to talk business, of the shareholders. And the shareholders include us, the fans. It's just an absolute shambles. And God, I kind of miss the days of Pavel Nedved when he'd go into the club room and give the players that spray that apparently he would regularly give them.
Yeah,
I don't know if I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I'm just not getting the impression that anyone on the board is doing that at the moment. It just seems like a shambles and they're just not acting accountably.
And Mark, just on that, Danilo as well. I mean, I've read some of his ex-tweets about, yep, you know, solidarity, stick together and that. I'm sorry, brother, but I don't buy that shit. Chesney actually, full credit to him, what he said in the press conference. He came in and said what needs to be said. It's not acceptable. And the players need to take some responsibility. Like, managers manage up, but players need to know you're putting on a jersey that people fought and bled for that top, and you're treating it like a piece of shit, like a rag.
Yeah, like a dishcloth.
And the thing is, they expect, and also they expect us to watch it and support it and go and buy merchandise and support it and be, mate, I'm over it. We're all over it. I mean, we're going into a game in Coppa Italia, which we'll get onto this now. We're playing Coppa Italia Wednesday morning. First leg's at home, but we're playing Lazio again. I mean, where do you see us first scoring, playing as a team, and also winning? Tell me.
Well, isn't this the opportunity where you say, well, things just haven't been working? I lied to the fans the other day by saying I'm going to play a 4-3-3. All I did was change the formation, but it wasn't anything more than that.
No, it wasn't.
But actually play something that resembles a 4-3-3 to get Chiesa in his best position and to get more from the midfield, because guys like Rabiot and Locatelli aren't playing. So isn't it the time where you say, well, 4-3-3 with Cambiasso doesn't work because he's a left back, not a left winger. I'll put him in his natural position, and I'll put someone like Illing Jr. as a winger to support Chiesa on the opposite flank. Or if the midfield needs more work, I'm going to put someone like Yildiz in to work between the lines and drop back a bit and get the ball from an underperforming, underwhelming Locatelli and or Rabiot. Isn't that the opportunity? Isn't it now that you take that opportunity? Because, look, we'd love to progress to the final of a Coppa Italia, but things are that bad in the league that don't you now have to use the Coppa Italia semi-final almost as a dress rehearsal for what's to come in the league? Fiorentina, Torino, in other words, games that, against respectable opponents who want to beat us, and games that we now just have to start winning.
I totally agree with you, Mark. But the thing is, what I'm worried about is their mental space, their head space.
Because, mark my words, Max has been saying until recently, and he won't be able to soon, he's been saying, oh, but we've still got a handle on fourth. The lads are playing well. We're reaching our objectives. Expectations are being met. Et cetera, et cetera.
Of course he's saying that.
But soon we could be going up against, later this month, a Roma and a Milan where a draw's not good enough anymore.
Yeah.
Because Bologna are ahead of us.
We need a miracle.
Yeah.
We do. We need a miracle.
So now, isn't it then that you start to say, well, I've got to actually start to play a more attacking formation because draws just aren't going to do it for us anymore. We need to start winning.
That's it.
And in order to win, you need to score goals. In order to score goals, it's basic stuff. You need to create chances. We are not creating chances. I'm going to finish my part of the show with one of the first things I started with.
Go for it.
You're not creating chances if the first shot on goal is in the 41st minute, and a minute or so before that was the second time you went in your opponent's box. That speaks volumes about the disarray of this team at the moment. I've said my bit.
Mark, in saying that, we've flown past this hour and 5 minutes of a podcast because basically it was all about frustration and about this rubbish that we're watching. But to our listeners, you can catch us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, until the end of the month, then Google Podcasts is no longer, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, the Three Juventinos Facebook page, JFC Melbourne Gigi Buffon Facebook page, X Twitter, Instagram, and next week we have a huge, huge show and a huge comeback by somebody. Mark,
it could be in studio for us.
And could be in studio. Mark, any final words to our listeners? And, yeah, what do we want to say, mate?
Well, we're going from hopefully next week, from this week to next week, a front two to a front three. Yep. Hopefully Juventus starts thinking that way as well.
Mark, I go to church every week, brother. I'll pray to the big man, mate, up there and say, Jesus, please, just that little bit of help. I know the world's crazy as it is at the moment, mate, but until next week, you have been listening to the Three Juventinos.